Acts chapter 11. When I was growing up, I wasn't allowed to have posters on my wall of sports heroes. When I was growing up, I didn't even know any sports heroes. I knew that there was such a thing as the NBA, although I wouldn't have known to call it that. Just knew it was professional basketball out there somewhere, and professional baseball, professional football. I knew a little bit about college football because everybody in my mom's family was Nittany Lions, Penn State fans. You know, family that worked for Penn State, so, you know, lived right close by. We went by Penn State Stadium to go to Grandpa and Grandma's house. So, I mean, I knew a little bit about that. Go to somebody's house for Thanksgiving. Well, Penn State was playing. The TV was on. Well, it's natural to see that motion. You turn and look. And then there was a snap of Dad's finger. We weren't allowed to watch that. It was a no-no. So I didn't know anything about those sports heroes. I didn't know anything about musicians as heroes. If we had heroes and musicians, it would have been people like Paul and Nancy Gray or Larry and LaDonna Thomas or Dave and Francis Fuller, Don and Cheryl Gessner for a while, and Victory Trio. Anybody here know the Victory Trio? It's really sad that our younger generation don't know the Victory Trio. If there's somebody that you could look to as a hero, it'd be the Victory Trio. Great people. Got to know them better when they camped out in their camper behind our house in Evansville for a few weeks because of some family sickness. Just a tremendous opportunity to get to know them better. Nowadays, people have posters of their heroes so often plastered on their bedroom walls. The only thing plastered on our walls was plaster of Paris plaques, hand-painted. There's a man here in Acts chapter 11 that should be our spiritual hero. Actually, it should be somebody that not only would be a hero to us, but somebody that we would do our very best to emulate, because this individual portrays what a Christian should be, a follower of Christ. Somebody who has seen Jesus Christ where he should be and has placed him in his life as the Lord of his life. His name is Barnabas. We don't know a whole lot about him, but we do know a few things about him. Verse number 24 is the verse that gets my attention at the very beginning here. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. He was a good man. He was a good person. Somebody said that he didn't possess any striking gifts. Do you know enough about Barnabas to be able to give a true or false statement to that? Is that true or is that false? He did not possess striking gifts. I don't know what you think about him. I don't know what you're thinking about him right now. I'm not necessarily asking for an answer. But as I got to thinking about Barnabas, as I began to look at Barnabas and read what we do know about him, it seems to me that Barnabas has some very striking gifts. this particular verse tells us a few things about him. He was a good man. You know, that's nothing striking about it, really, is it? It's just a common good statement. It'd be nice to have somebody say that about you, or you're a good man, or you're a good woman, you're a good young man or young lady, young boy, young girl. You know, that's a nice thing for somebody to say about us. That's a good thing. Not necessarily a striking gift, though. Then we find that he's full of the Holy Ghost. Now that may be coming closer to a striking gift. I know that I've heard in different preachers preaching that they would say that there's very few people that are really filled with the Holy Spirit. Too many people are satisfied with status quo or mediocrity. They just barely get in. Just step their feet into the water, so to speak, but don't plunge out and launch out into the deep. There's not a whole lot of hungering and thirsting after righteousness. They're just wanting to get in and get the splash overs from brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, or maybe even get a little splash over from brother Barnabas here. He doesn't, he said that he doesn't have any striking gifts, but he has the Holy Spirit. He's full of the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of people like that, satisfied with mediocrity. So when I look at Barnabas and I see it written that he is full of the Holy Ghost, I would say that we're getting pretty close to a striking gift. So he's a good man, he's full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. He's full of faith. Now that's pretty good. How many of us? Be honest here. You don't have to answer me audibly, but be honest with ourselves. How many of us have prayed the prayer, "Lord, help my unbelief"? I'll be honest, verbally. I've prayed it. And maybe you have too. There's probably been times when you've prayed it. There's been situations where your faith may have been a little bit weak. Maybe there were times when you were struggling to believe and you had to pray that prayer, "Lord, help my unbelief." We find that in Scripture. The person prayed that and it gives us the incentive to pray along with them. But here we find this man is full of the Holy Ghost. He's full of faith. It's pretty good. But is there anything else that we can find in the life of Barnabas that would indicate whether or not he had some striking gifts? It would tell me, as I read the Scripture here, when we find out what I can find about Barnabas, that he must have been more of a reserved person. Now, we find later on in the book of Acts, there's several chapters there that he is partnering with Saul or with Paul, Saul of Tarsus, before he became the Apostle Paul, became known as the Apostle Paul. He partnered with him and traveled with him quite extensively. But Paul always seems to be the one in the forefront. Paul's the one with boldness so often. Now, there is a passage that said that they were both filled with boldness, but it seems like in all the records that we find here in Scripture that Saul or Paul is the one that is bold. Now, there was a time, we find it later on here in chapter number 15, that Barnabas did have an opinion about something. He had an opinion about somebody, and Paul had an opinion about that person that differed from Barnabas' opinion about him. And Barnabas wasn't so much of a pushover that he just gave in to Paul. Actually, the Scripture would say that the contention was so sharp between them that they had to go their separate ways. Some people think that there's a possibility that Barnabas wrote the book of Hebrews, or at least wrote the last two chapters of the book of Hebrews. You know, that's all up for debate because we really don't know. There's not enough clarity in there as to who wrote it. At least not enough clarity for me to make a decision. You may affirm in your mind who it was. I don't know. you know, we don't really have a whole lot to go on. But let's look back here in Acts chapter 4 and see one of the first things about Barnabas. Acts chapter 4, verse 36 would tell us that he is the son of consolation. The Amplified renders it the son of encouragement. He was an encourager. Somebody recently said that we all need encouragement from time to time. Isn't that so true? Maybe somebody's need isn't quite as obvious as somebody else's because their circumstances may be more hidden than somebody else's, but there's always times that we need encouragement. Barnabas is said to be an encourager, son of encouragement. That's a pretty good gift. As a matter of fact, that may be considered a striking gift in my opinion. How about yours? An encourager, looking to find somebody who is in need of encouragement and then offering that encouragement. I like that. There's times that I really like that. I believe that's a good gift. Acts chapter 9, verse 27 would tell us another incident in the life of Barnabas. He apparently is the one that took Saul of Tarsus to the apostles. You read it there in chapter number 9, verse 27 specifically. And he stood up for Saul in the face of skepticism. Understandably so. I'm not trying to knock the disciples or the apostles or anybody in the process here. Saul of Tarsus was going around doing everything that he could to reach everywhere he could to destroy every Christian he could. And he was doing it with zeal for God. And then all of a sudden, the light bulb switches over, the light bulb comes on, and he's suddenly now a Christian himself. I can understand why the rest of the church was saying, oh, hold up here. We're not bringing the wolf in. Oh, yeah, he has put on sheep's clothing right now. He's looking good right now. He sounds good right now, but we're not bringing the wolf in. I dare say that the majority of us, or all of us, would have a hard time with that. Somewhere in the heart and in the mind of Barnabas, he recognized the conversion was real. Now, when it comes to you or me being in Saul of Tarsus's position, we would appreciate Barnabas. We would thank God for Barnabas. Barnabas had faith in Saul. He was willing to go before the council. He was willing to go before the other apostles. He was willing to go before the church leaders and vouch for the integrity of Saul's conversion. How did he know? What made him believe above everybody else? Could it come back to the very point that has already been made in chapter number 11, verse 24, that he was full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, that God the Holy Spirit revealed because of his close connection, he had the Holy Spirit's discernment? Not only do we find discernment here in this particular passage, in this particular instance, but if we come on down to chapter number 11, we'll see again in chapter 11, verse 22, that the apostles had confidence in his discernment. Maybe they had confidence in his discernment stemming from bringing Saul of Tarsus to them and vouching for the integrity of his conversion. And so from that, we come into this other situation in Acts chapter number 11, and they decide to send Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. Why? Because they they had faith or they had confidence in his discernment, his spiritual discernment, to know if this was right or wrong. In our day and age, spiritual discernment is a striking gift. It's a good gift. Some people think they have the discernment, but all they're doing is believing every false tale that comes down the pike. They think they have discernment about this and that, but really they're off base. Real, true spiritual discernment is a striking gift. I think that Barnabas has a striking gift here of discernment. He was a good man. He was full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Finally, the thing that we can notice about Barnabas is that he was a soul winner. I don't know where you are in your personal life, but I think that must be a striking gift. I don't know how many people he won to Christ, but the last portion of verse number 24 says, "And much people was added unto the Lord." That would indicate that this is referencing the life of Barnabas, that from him and through his life and through his ministry and through the Holy Spirit in saturating him and in filling him, that there was a ministry that was flowing out of him that was beneficial to the kingdom of God, because many people were brought to the Lord, added unto the Lord. Someone said that fruitfulness is the natural outcome of such a life. Fruitfulness is the natural outcome of such a life. That if God the Holy Ghost can fill us, if we can be so much a surrendered vessel of the Master's, that fruitfulness is the natural outcome. He said, we may possess many other natural or acquired gifts, but lacking goodness, power, and faith, the life cannot be fruitful. So whoever it was that said that Barnabas did not possess any striking gifts must have been looking at the humdrum part of his life, where he just followed Saul of Tarsus or Paul the Apostle around as his traveling companion and didn't look any further into what or who Barnabas was. You have somebody's poster on your wall that you're looking to as a hero, or somebody in your mind that you're looking to as a hero. Here's one that I would suggest would make a good hero for any one of us to follow. Followers of Christ is what we're talking about. Christ, the greatest gift of Christmas, is what we're celebrating this time of year. Greatest gift we can give back to Him is this kind of a life. He was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost. There was power there. Full of faith, he believed God. God help us. God help us. Be a Barnabas. Let's stand together tonight. Praise God. Thank God for the good Lord's Day. Trust you have a good week this week. All the busyness of the schedules, all that's going on. Amen. Lord help us.